The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected elders, brothers and sisters, my condolences to all of you on the Shahada anniversary of our ninth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad al-Taqi alayhi salam, and special condolences to his great-grandson, the Imam of our time, Ajallahu Farajahu Sharif, who definitely on this occasion is in a state of mourning. We give him our condolences. The end of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah is the anniversary of the Shahada of this great Imam. And we're blessed to be able to take some time out to reconnect or strengthen our connection with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, to show our respect and to strengthen our bond with all of them, and especially with this Imam alayhi as-salam this evening. I want to, inshallah, say a few things about the Imam's life, some of the challenges that he faced, and inshallah talk about some of the ways that he approached these challenges that can, inshallah, be beneficial for all of us. The Imam was the first Imam who became an Imam as a child. Some traditions say that he was 7 years old, some say that he was 8 years old, some say that he was 9 years old, but unanimously it's accepted that he was just a child when he became the Imam. And this was a difficult thing for many reasons. Number one is that Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam becomes an orphan at a young age. His father is martyred. So this is something which is obviously a very difficult trial for any child. But imagine when your father is Imam Ali al-Ridha alayhi salam, it makes the trial even more difficult. So this is one of the difficulties that he's facing. Now, given that he's the first Imam who is a child, that becomes another challenge. Because this is something that people were not used to. After him, we know that the 10th Imam alayhi salam and the Imam of our time, they both became Imams when they were just at the age of what others would consider to be children. But our 9th Imam alayhi salam was the first of these. So in order to establish this, of course, he's going to face some resistance. There are going to be people who stand up against him and say that, no, we don't accept this. And the Imam alayhi salam, just like the other Imams, was surrounded by those who were opposed to him and his mission, which is the mission of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So the historians say that if we want to look at who were the opposition to the Imam alayhi salam, there was actually four different groups. One of them was the Bani Abbas, the Abbasid rulers, who knew that in just the same way that Imam Ridha alayhi salam had found a place in the heart of so many people, they knew that his son alayhi salam, there's a good possibility that he too would find a place in the hearts of many people, which he did. That was one group of enemies. The second group of enemies were those people who had issues with imama as a whole, meaning the concept of accepting an imam and submitting to that imam and acknowledging the imam as the leader. There was people who had issues with that. For example, one of the main movements was called the Waqifiyah. The Waqifiyah were people who did waqf. Waqf means to stop. What did they do? They stopped after the 7th Imam alayhi salam. They said after the 7th Imam, there was no other imam. And some of them did that because they had collected a large amount of money that was actually due to the imam. When the imam passed away, they were tested and they failed the test, and they said that this money is going to be ours. We're not going to pass it along to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So this was a group that the Imam alayhi salam was facing. But other than these two, there was two others which makes the Imam's struggle very unique. One of the other, the third group that the Imam alayhi salam faced challenges from were people who called themselves his followers. They were Shias. But they were Shias who had not strengthened their intellectual power. Their ability to use their aql, their power of intellect, was limited. And so they would look at things very superficially. And I'll give you an example of that in just a bit right now. Now, in some cases, when you have followers, but those followers are the ones who are dragging you back, that can be sometimes more difficult than not having those followers. And we saw that at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the time of other imams. So Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he faced this as well. And then the fourth group of people who he faced opposition from were actually people from within his own family. Because there were those who felt that, you know, because of their age, because of their status, they said that how could it be the case that someone who's just at the age of a child, that person could become the imam. So we see soon after the Imam alayhi salam becomes the imam, we see that there's a group of fuqaha, of jurists from all around. They had heard that, okay, that Imam Ridha alayhi salam has a successor, Imam Jawad. So they want to go and they want to test him out. They want to see how he is. So they are going for Hajj and they all assemble in Medina to be able to test the Imam alayhi salam. And this is an incident that's reported in numerous books of hadith. So what happens is that they gather together in the home that used to belong to Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, our sixth Imam. And before Imam Jawad alayhi salam comes out to be able to address them and establish that he's the Imam, Abdullah ibn Musa alayhi salam comes out. Now who's Abdullah? Abdullah is the son of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. So he's the uncle of Imam Muhammad al-Jawad. He's obviously elder to Imam Jawad. And he's one of these people who fell into the fourth category of those who were standing in opposition to the Imam alayhi salam. He felt that, okay, because of his age, because of his seniority, whatever it may be the case, he should be the one who's recognized as the representative from the family of our Prophet. So these jurists who have gathered there, they begin to ask Abdullah ibn Musa questions. And the Shias were listening to this. And what happens is that Abdullah ibn Musa, he is not connected to the divine source of knowledge. He's a learned person, but his knowledge is ordinary knowledge. It's book knowledge that he's acquired. And soon enough, he begins to falter. And the Shias who are there, who had learned their teachings from, you know, from Imam Ridha alayhi salam, from Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, they begin to cringe. They say that this person is answering the questions wrongly. So what happens at this time is all these people who have gathered, they didn't gather to see Abdullah ibn Musa. They realize that, okay, he's not, you know, the legitimate representative. And a door opens and Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam enters the room. Now it's very interesting that all these jurists, all these famous scholars, you know, you can imagine, put your picture in your mind, all these, let's say, men who have long beards, who have been studying their whole lives, something about the presence of the Imam alayhi salam spurs them to stand up out of respect for him. They realize that this is not an ordinary child who's entering the room. And then they begin to ask their questions. And one after the other, the Imam alayhi salam correctly responds. And soon enough, they become convinced that indeed this is the one who is the representative and the successor of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. There's one man who's there who had come, he witnesses all of this. He had 10 questions of his own. And he said that I had come to ask the questions, but I had also come with a request. I had a haja. I wanted something from the Imam. He said that, you know, for a long time I've been trying to have, you know, I was asking Allah for a child. My desire was to have a son. So I was going to go to the Imam with the questions and also ask him to pray for me so that Allah could grant me a son. And he says that when when I came to the Imam, before I even gave him the questions, before I even asked him to make that dua, he looks at me and he tells me that when Allah grants you a son, then you can name him Ahmad. So then he says that at that point, I became convinced that indeed this is the Imam. Now, brother and sister, this is an example of the types of challenges that Imam Muhammad al-Jawad alayhi salam was facing at a very young age. And we can see here that the Imam alayhi salam, when he's put into this challenge, he responds to it by turning it into an opportunity. It's an opportunity for guidance. In this, we see that he was able to, those Shias who were, let's say, simple-minded and they hadn't sharpened their intellect, those people who didn't have a correct understanding of the Imamah, through his knowledge, through his dealing with them, he was able to now turn them to his favor. And this is something that we see throughout the life of the Imam alayhi salam, that when he came across different challenges, he was able to turn them into opportunities. And this is something that the Imams alayhi salam would like from their followers as well.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.